This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كذيب يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به أيمسكه على هون أم يدسه في التراب ألا ساء ما يحكمون صدق الله العظيم. Respected أساتذة الكرام, علماء الكرام, dear friends, my beloved elders and beloved students. Firstly, we need to understand that from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world and created this system, according to the narrations, approximately plus minus 6,000 years have passed. In these 6,000 years, different nations, different traditions, different cultures, different communities came in and went. A few of which we know about, and a few of which we do not know. The few which we know about is because of the Holy Quran. They are mentioned in the Quran and through the narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, one thing common in all these nations and traditions was that they disregarded and they degraded the female gender. In fact, it comes that according to the Roman Empire, it was allowed for the husband to lawfully kill his wife, and there were no repercussions. There was no issue to that. It was allowed for the husband to kill his wife. Lawfully. According to the tradition of Misr, there used to be a market and the woman used to be sold in this market. Each and every part of her body was explicitly exposed, mentioned, discussed, auctioned, and then they used to be sold. According to the time of the days of ignorance before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, just before the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the environment was such that Nabi sallallahu alaihi Allah Ta'ala had to reveal a verse. Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse saying, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And when they are given the glad tidings of a female child, their faces change and they become angry. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. And they start hiding themselves from the people of the society. It comes in narrations that the environment was such that the people of that time used to take their wives in the jungle, dig a trench, and when she was about to deliver a child, they would make the mother lie down near the trench. And if it was a female, straight into the trench. If it was a male, they would congratulate each other. Because they used to think that women are of no use. They are powerless. They can't assist us in hard labor. They can't assist us in battle. And we invest in them, and in the end, they get married and go in someone else's house. So there is no, this investment is not fruitful. That's how they used to think. It comes in narrations that once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was asked regarding the verse, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَمٍ قُتِلَتْ. On the day of Qiyamah, the same female child was buried with us. And for what sin did you kill me, O my father? So that Umar radiallahu ta'ala who mentioned that once a Sahabi came to the Messenger of Allah and he said that, O Prophet of Allah, I killed 8 daughters of mine. I buried them alive. Will Allah ta'ala forgive me? Will Allah ta'ala forgive me? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that Allah ta'ala will forgive you. But now, whenever a sin was committed in the days of ignorance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never commanded anyone to expiate, to pay kafara. But on this particular occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that Sahabi that go and free a slave in exchange of every daughter you have buried alive. So the Sahabi mentioned that, O Prophet of Allah, I do not have slaves, I possess camels. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and donate a camel in exchange of every daughter you have buried alive. So from this we can understand the gravity of this sin. According to the people of Majusi, the idol worshippers, it comes that they used to marry their daughters with their sons, with the same mentality, that we are going to invest in our daughters, then tomorrow they will go at someone else's house. So rather use them in our own house. That is why there is this famous story of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, a famous scholar, the teacher to Imam Bukhari. You must have all heard the name Imam Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was the teacher to Imam Bukhari and the student to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi once goes to sleep and he sees in his dream that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that, oh Abdullah, go to a certain place and find a man by the name of Abraham and give him the glad tidings that his house is going to be next to me in Jannah. Now these were pious people. When he wakes up, it's a command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has to go and fulfill it. So he starts the journey and he reaches at that place and he finds out about this man Abraham, and upon finding out he gets to know that Abraham is a Majusi, he's an idol worshipper. So that Abdullah ibn Mubarak is shocked that an idol worshipper next to the house of the Prophet of Allah in Jannah. How is that possible? So he confirms again and he's a Majusi. So finally he goes to the house of Abraham, and Abraham is also happy because he was the leader of that place. He becomes happy that the Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the scholar of Hadith, has visited me. So he welcomes him and then he asks him the reason, and Abdullah ibn Mubarak mentions the whole story. Then Abdullah ibn Mubarak questions him that, what good deed have you done that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving you this glad tidings? So he mentions that I married my daughters with my son. That is the reason why he mentioned this whole story, because they regarded it as a good deed. He mentioned that I married my daughters to my son. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, it is not allowed in our religion. That cannot be the reason. Something else. So Abraham replied, when I married my daughters to my sons, I invited the whole of city for 8 days. And I fed everyone, the officials, the rich, the poor, the males, the females. One evening when I was returning to home, I heard a voice of a woman who was crying in the house. When I went close and asked her the reason, she informed me that, are you Abraham? And I said, yes, I am Abraham. She said to me that, oh Abraham, you have been feeding the whole of the society for the past 8 days. But since 8 days, there is not a single morsel to go in my stomach or in the stomach of my daughter. She was a widow. So Abraham mentions that, I don't know what happened to me. I went home, I got all the food, I got all the money, and I came and I gave it to her. At that particular moment, that small, young female child said that, may Allah Ta'ala give you a house next to the Prophet of Allah in Jannah. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala must have accepted that one. Then Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, yes, that might be the reason, let me go. So that Majusi says, Abraham says, are you going to leave me as an idol worshipper? Let me accept Islam. And then he reads La ilaha illallah at the hands of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah. So this is how a female child was regarded in the past. And the reason why I'm talking about this today is because today is 11th October. According to the United Nations General Assembly, 11th October has been declared a day in which awareness regarding female gender is done. Forced marriages, empowering female children. So what I want you to understand, that there are some people outside who think that Islam is a biased religion. Islam doesn't speak about gender equality. First of all, the phrase gender equality is wrong. You have to understand, a male is a male, a female is a female. They can't be equal. Female gives birth, a male cannot give birth. That's why you go to any place, you will find a different washroom for a male and a different washroom for a female. Where is the gender equality here? There is no gender equality there. We should be calling it gender equity. Gender equity. Now what does Islam say regarding it? Does Islam give that status to female children? Yes, it does. Let us speak about it. We are going to look at three concepts here. Firstly, the spiritual concept. Secondly, the economic concept. And thirdly, the social concept. Let us start with the spiritual concept. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. When a person has to do a good deed, whether it's a male or a female, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates the efforts of both males and females. But the confusion comes in when people have started misunderstanding the verse Ar-Rijalu Qawwamun Ala Nisa. That male are superior than females. Now the meaning of qiwam is to have responsibility of the family. That is what Allah is telling in the Quran, that male are responsible for their family. Quran doesn't say that male are superior. Male are responsible for their family, for women folk. That is what Quran says, and that's the verse which is misunderstood outside. Then someone might ask that, okay, if Islam says there is gender equity in spiritual aspect, then why there are no female messengers? Why there are no female prophets? If you have to look at the prophetic history, you will only find male messengers. So the answer to that is that prophethood demands sacrifice. And it demands physical torture. You look at the stories of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was tortured physically. Look at the story of Musa alayhi salam. Look at the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Everyone was tortured. So Islam is giving that respect to the female gender, that they are not supposed to go through that torture. That's why you will only find male messengers in the past. So spiritually, we have resolved. Allah Ta'ala appreciates the efforts of everyone. Looking at the economic aspect. When a woman gets married, or before she is married, and even after marriage, Islam has given her the right to remain with her father's name. The husband cannot force her to change her surname. Islam says that. The other aspect is that when a woman gets married and she comes into the family, who's responsible of the house? Who's responsible? It is the male. Financially, it is the male. Woman is not demanded by Sharia to spend a single penny in the household. It is the male who's supposed to spend. It is the male who's supposed to take care of the woman in the case of divorce as well. Till her iddah, till her waiting period has to finish. The man is supposed to take care of her. Islam in fact says that in case of divorce, the man is in charge of the child as well. So in every stage of her life, Allah Ta'ala has left her to take care of herself and no one else. And that is why you will see that when it comes to inheritance, a man is given two shares. And a woman is given one share. Why? Because in every stage of her life, she doesn't have to take care of anyone, but a man in every stage of his life has to take care of his mother, has to take care of his sister, has to take care of his daughter, and everyone. The other thing which we have to understand from the social aspect, when the woman is in the role of the daughter, what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if a person has a daughter and he does not insult her and he does not bury her alive and he takes care of her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant him Jannah. Another hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person has two daughters and he takes care of them, then tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, he and I are going to be together like these two fingers in Jannah. If a person has to take care of his daughter. Now, you'll find most of the time people saying that Islam doesn't allow our daughters to achieve knowledge, to go and gain knowledge. There is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which says that it is mandatory upon every male and female to achieve knowledge. It is compulsory. What Islam doesn't allow is to go and achieve the same knowledge in an environment which is full of immorality and immodesty. Apparently, it looks like we are empowering our daughters, but spiritually we are training them. That is what Islam is about. Now, when this same female has to play the role of a wife, what happens? You'll find people asking you that Why is it allowed for a man to marry four women and not allowed for a woman to marry four men? Firstly, because if a woman has to marry four men, there is going to be confusions in the lineage. Whose child, the child which is going to be born, whose child is it going to be counted? Who's going to be the father? Secondly, why does Islam say that a man can marry four women? Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ, that marry two, three, or four women of your choice. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا, if you can't deal with all of them with justice, فَوَاحِدَةً, then only marry one. That's the literal meaning. If you can't keep them with justice together, then only marry one. In fact, Quran is the only book which says that only marry one. Only marry one. Now, looking at the American statistics, you will find that there are 8 million more women than men in America. The reason why I'm using this example, because it was easy to find their statistics. There are 8 million more women in America than men. Now, if all the men have to marry one woman, 8 million women are left without a husband. The problem gets bigger when you get to know that 25 million men are sodomites. They are gay. The problem gets bigger. Who's going to marry these 8 million women now? And it gets worse when you get to find out that 98% of prisoners are males. So the solution to their problem is in our Quran. فَانْكِحُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. Marry 2, 3 and 4. And this verse was only revealed after the Battle of Uhud, when many Sahaba lost their lives and many widows and children were left behind. This verse was revealed in order to take care of them. So this is the gender equity taught by Islam. If we don't understand Islam deeply, then we might fall prey to the same phrase which is being said outside, that Islam needs to be reformed. Islam doesn't need to be reformed. Islam needs to be understood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding of it. Amin.